When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everyone. In case you're just joining us, I'll do this one more time. Brian Windhorst, Dominique Foxworth, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. I'm Molly Karam. SA is off today. The ladies will be in the house as well. Mina Kimes, Kimberly A. Martin. Gentlemen, a lot to get into. How are we feeling on this Friday eve?
Raring to go. I got Mr. Foxworth there. We're going to have some laughs with him all afternoon. Yeah.
He's going to get on you. So
I know. He always
be prepared.
Like, he's
plenty
a smart
of respect
cookie.
For Mr. Ruco.
There we go. Wendy, great to see you as well. Guys, let's dive in with the Kings. Good morning. Completing the season sweep of the Lakers, winning 120-107 on Wednesday. Sacramento moved into sixth in the Western Conference, tied with the Suns. The Lakers currently ninth, just above 500. Domantas Sabonis had his league-leading 23rd triple-double of the season, kept up his winning ways against Anthony Davis. Sabonis has won all 10 games he's played in his career against AD. Wendy, starting with you, my man. How concerning was this loss for the Lakers?
Can we just start with the fact that Sabonis is 10-0 against AD in his career?
Sure.
That's one of the most amazing stats going in the league right now. Swept him this year. By the way, over the last 2 years, guys, Kings are 7-1 against the Lakers. Like, they have owned this matchup. And let's start with just have some truths about the Lakers. Let's just be honest about where they are as a team right now. Okay, they are in a tie, essentially, for 10th place because they're tied with the Warriors in the loss column. I know they have a couple more wins, but they're all going to play the same amount of games. And right now, they're tied. Okay, they are now way back of the sixth seed and have completely been whitewashed in the tiebreaker by the Kings. They're also behind the Mavericks in the tiebreaker and by two games in the loss column for eight. So I'm telling you, the sixth seed has sailed. Goodbye, sayonara, you're going to be in the play-in. The other thing I'm going to say is that if you're a Lakers fan, I would now advise you to start to root for the Kings just about every game because you don't want to face the Kings in a one-off situation. I know that the Lakers have had success in one-off situations in this modern era. They were 3-0 in the in-season tournament. LeBron's led wins in a couple of in-season tournament games. You don't want to face the Kings. You want the Kings to get the sixth seed because you actually have a chance to beat the Suns. They've got three wins against the Suns this year. The size difference is huge for them. They don't have to see Domantas Sabonis. And let me just make a quick aside. Sabonis not making the All-Star game ain't looking so good for the people who voted for it. Don't worry, the big bad media will solve it and we'll put him on the All-NBA team. But that remains embarrassing the way this guy is dominating. But back to the Lakers. They're now in a situation where I will tell you they got a must-win game on Saturday against the Warriors. Because if you break down the tie break, this game will probably give the Lakers the edge in the tiebreak. They have two games left, and it's 1-1. Both games are in L.A., but you get into layers 2 and 3 of the tiebreak. The Lakers win this game on Saturday. They'll be in a tiebreak situation. I think they'll get it. And the reason that's important, guys, is we're now looking at who's going to have home court for a 9-10 game. I don't see how the Lakers are getting out of it. The Mavericks have an easier schedule or a comparable schedule than the Lakers down the stretch. And this is even worse news for the Lakers because, again, we're just going to be honest. This is a morning for honesty. Last night, the Denver Nuggets moved into first place in the Western Conference. And I'm telling you, I've sailed on the sixth seed. I'm on the verge of telling you, forget about this, the eighth seed for the Lakers, and at least going in. So the best you can do is have to win two games to get the eighth seed. Your hope as a Lakers fan is that you can get into a playoff series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a team that you've beaten 3 out of 4 times. You like that matchup. Your size works against you. Your experience works against you. The Lakers would have a fighting chance in that situation. But guess what? The Nuggets have basically been the league's best team since the All-Star break. They took over the number one seed last night, and the projections that I'm looking at and just with the eye test say they're going to get the number one seed. They have far and away the easier schedule between them, the Wolves, and the Thunder coming in. The Wolves don't have Karl Towns. I think the Nuggets, who are killers at home and want home court throughout the West playoffs, I think they're getting the one. So I think the Lakers are facing fighting with the Warriors for home court in the 9-10, praying that the Kings aren't in the 7-8 so that they don't have to potentially see them in the next round, and then potentially facing a rematch with a team that they also can't beat, which is the Denver Nuggets. And before I hand it off, Molly, one more thing.
Oh, I love it.
A year ago in March, I was saying, and a lot of other people who were watching closely were saying, that the Lakers did have a chance to do something in the postseason. And the reason we believe that, even though they were a worse team by record than this year's team, is because after they made those trade deadline moves, they were great. And I mean great on the defensive end of the court. And that was what carried them through the play-in, through those first couple of rounds. They were really, really good. Over the last 15 games, the Lakers are 29th in the league in defense. And to be honest with you, I probably should have led with that and just handed the ball off and said, I don't have anything else more to say. The only team worse over the last 15 games in the league is the Utah Jazz, who are doing a grade A tank job to keep their draft pick. One of the things no one's paying attention to is the absolute overt tank job that Utah is doing. That's the only team that is playing worse defense than the Lakers. Last year in March, they had the number three defense in the league. I can't take this team seriously. I respect their ability to win an individual one-off game because of their talent. I can't take this team seriously to do anything when you've got the second worst defense in the league in the most important part of the season. That's all for me.
100%.
I just
got to
say, he came in hot.
Oh, he was flying.
Windy.
Good job there.
Standing all.
Excellent
I mean,
point.
The passion, the delivery, the focus, poignant points. I mean, that was just exceptional.
And he also had the play-in stuff right
I mean,
and everything else.
That was, yeah, way to kick off the show.
I will be quick and then give Dom plenty of chances here. I 100% agree with Brian and everything he says. I can't believe that a team with Reeves, LeBron, and Anthony Davis that were looking at them maybe getting knocked out in the second game of the postseason. I mean, that's ridiculous. They got LeBron and Anthony Davis, and they can't get out of a play-in situation. Furthermore, even if they get by Golden State in that 9-10 game, to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win a road game against a 6-7-8 loser. So the 7-8 plays, the winner's in, and the loser plays at home against the 9-10 winner. So the Lakers are going to have to win a road game just to make the body of work in the postseason. And that's and again, Kings 4-0 against them. They make Sabonis out to be Gus Johnson. Look him up if you want to know who he was back in the old days with the Baltimore Bullets. I mean, the bottom line is this is a team last year got to the conference final. Everybody was excited, thought they were going to do great things this year, and now they can't get out of their own way. And remember, too, if the NBA loses LeBron and Curry in a play-in scenario, that's going to hurt them. The NBA sells stars, and if they lose LeBron and Curry before they get to that first round,
that's a different conversation. It's an interesting conversation. It's also time to meet some new stars, and getting them
that's
out of
fair.
The way will get more attention to those new stars. So it's not all bad for the NBA. But I think that I really appreciate Brian going through all of those scenarios, because that's what I spent last night doing, trying to figure out a path for the Lakers to have success. And you know what? I closed my computer because I realized they're not good. Like, you're not good. And the point that Brian made about their defense is the one that jumped out to me. Because I remember last year, that was what carried them. It's like, all right, maybe they can be a defensive team while I'm watching the game and Domantas Sabonis is essentially doing whatever he wants with his 23rd, I think, triple-double of the season, which is
incredible. Underrated.
Has the triple-double been inflated also? I feel like triple-doubles used to be a thing we were excited about, and now he got 23 in the season.
Yes.
It's not even over yet. It's absurd, along with
scoring,
which I guess has been addressed in some way. The scoring inflation has been addressed. But I think that's the bottom line, is what we have to understand is we can't finagle the roster or the playoffs in such a way that the Lakers are going to end up in the conference championship again, because they aren't good. They aren't as good as that team. And when you have a player like AD and like LeBron, who I think the matchup is very important, LeBron at this age, the matchup matters more than their team. It doesn't give you much optimism. And watching Reeves, like, he's been good, but what they need him to be is a lot better than I think he's capable of being to be competitive in any of this. And foundationally, they are a defensive team. And if they can't get that back, they have no shot. It's sad, but true. Like, we all love watching the Lakers. We love watching LeBron. They're like the marquee franchise in the NBA. We want them in the playoffs. We want LeBron to make a deep run because it's fun watching him still do. Last night, he had a couple incredible dunks. His landing looks a little rough, which I think Vince Carter said a while ago that the jumping isn't hard. It's the landing that's the issue. The landing doesn't look great, but he's still explosive and athletic, but his issues on the defensive end, and he's the guy on the team, and it feels like the team kind of goes as he goes. Whereas he's not great on defense, they're not great on defense, and they aren't good. Like, that's the bottom line of all the great information that Wendy gave us. None of it matters because they're not a really legitimate, well-rounded. They're big. They're slow. They're not a good basketball team at this point in the West that has several really good teams.
And I'll take Denver on the money line to win the whole thing. I'll do that right now, plus whatever it might be.
Why are you telling Molly? Is she your bookie?
Oh, she knows.
I'd still take Boston, but we can get into that a little later. Yeah, you would. We'll see. Hey, we have a betting segment later. You ready to pull things down? Joe Fortenbaugh is going to be here for that.
I look forward to it.
Okay, I look forward to it, too. Put your money where your mouth is big time. Wendy will be with us. Windenhorst? Windenhorst.
We kid because we love.
Thank you, Mr. Russo.
Yeah, there you go.
Windenhorst, we'll be back to you. Dominic Windenhorst is actually hosting the show today. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, Kimberly A. Martin joining us now. The running back carousel has landed many old faces in new places. Saquon Barkley landed with the Eagles after 6 seasons with the Giants. Barkley will be the third player since the merger to play for a division rival the season after recording 1,000 scrimmage yards and 10 TDs. Joe Mixon traded to the Texans after 7 seasons with the Bengals. The 27-year-old's 37 touchdowns since 2021 are second most by a running back behind Austin Eckler. Derrick Henry joins the Ravens after amassing nearly 10,000 rushing yards in 8 seasons with the Titans. The Ravens had the league's best rushing offense last season, led by Lamar Jackson's 821 yards. Okay. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello.
Great to have you with us. Already warmed up. We've been watching you on Get Up. All right. Dominique, I'll start with you. Which is the best new quarterback running back duo in the NFL?
I really wanted to say CJ Stroud just to upset you guys all because I think CJ Stroud is that good that maybe you put him with whoever, but I had to be honest. And the answer is obviously Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, in part because they're both really good, talented rushers. Jalen can pass the ball, but it's the situation that he's going into where they have one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in football, even losing Jason Kelce. And they have two legitimate number one X-type receivers on the outside. So, like, that rushing attack, it's a very pick-your-poison type of offense. There's nothing. They're going to have an advantage somewhere. And I'd be much more concerned if I was a defensive coordinator of trying to make a game plan to do something with Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and both of those receivers, and their O-line is good. So it's a tough spot there.
I'm going to take the Ravens because I love the combination. I think, obviously, Henry's got a chance to get to a Super Bowl. I think he's going to be very motivated, getting some new digs, gets a chance to play with, obviously, Lamar in that city that lost the AFC Championship game. They'd be very motivated. We all know Lamar needs to win some playoff games, but his running ability will help, too. I love the combination. Remember, the Eagles had a good running back in Swift, and they got to a Super Bowl 2 years ago without Barkley. The Ravens haven't done that yet. So Lamar and Henry have a chance to do something for the franchise and the combination and this present team that has not been done, and that's get to a next level. The Eagles have already done that, so I'll take the combination in Baltimore.
So here's my compliment. You look very lovely today.
Thank you.
But you're wrong.
So very good.
So, and here's why. Because who's going to be more motivated than a running back who felt like he wasn't loved? Imagine, you're saying, I want to be here. I love you. And the person is like, yeah, we love you too, but yeah, this time has run its course. And then somebody next door is like, hey, 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 come over here. We got you. Look at this roster. Look at this team. Look at these weapons. You're going to be loved here. And the Eagles gave him the money to show this. These guarantees say how much we value your skill set. The skill set that they value is the fact that he is a home run hitter. This is a guy that averaged almost 100 scrimmage yards per game with the Giants. Doggy, you know what the Giants O-line has been looking like the last.
And the Eagles have a good one, as Dom said.
So when you think about, I understand Derrick Henry, you're going to pair one of the strongest, most physical running backs in the game to Lamar Jackson, one of, if not the best running quarterback of all time. Debate, you know, there's a debate there. But I get why Baltimore would be your choice. But if you thought for a second longer, you would say Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, strongest quads in America together, right? Paired with, as Dominique said, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And we never talk about Dallas Goedert. Yeah. We've forgotten about him because...
He can play too.
Exactly. And the Eagles have so many weapons that where's the weakness on that team?
I'm still tempted. C.J. Stroud, we don't
by
know
himself.
How, we don't know how good he's going to be. What he did last year was great. So Joe Mixon is not as good as Saquon Barkley. That's fine. Or Derrick Henry. That's fine. But we do see the return to Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and a second year of improvement from possibly the best rookie quarterback that we've had. And I guess Mahomes was a second year quarterback when he got his first start.
Yep.
So I can't remember off the top of my head someone who, we go back to Dan Marino, someone who entered the league and was clear to us like, oh, he's one of them. Mm-hmm. Adding him into this situation, it doesn't matter what you surround him in. The future for him, the ceiling is high. We know what these other guys are. We know Lamar Jackson is MVP of the league two times. We know that Hurts is the same sort of thing. But that situation down there is interesting. I think it's worth discussing. I still don't think Kimberly and I are right because obviously we understand football at a level that Mad Dog could never
clearly
get to.
Clearly, never.
Saquon in the offense that he was in, moving into a situation where he is not. Best case scenario, you got one player in the hole to tackle Saquon because everyone else will be accounted for. Saquon has not seen anything like that in his entire football career. Saquon has always been in a situation where the boxes are loaded against mm-hmm. him because he's always been the focal point of the offense. Now he'd be in a situation where the defensive coordinator, when he comes to that game, is going to be like, all right, we got to stop big plays from AJ. We got to make sure Devontae doesn't do those deep crosses. All right, Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. Oh, damn it, Saquon? Like, and he's a pass catcher, and he's talented. I think that Derrick Henry doesn't have the same pass catching ability.
Break this down for me. When we're talking specifically Lamar versus Jalen Hurts, would you say Lamar is much more talented?
I wouldn't say. I mean, yeah, I think Lamar's definitely much more talented. He's had more success, and I think more sustained success over a long period of time. We go Lamar versus Hurts. I like Lamar.
And then what about Henry versus Saquon?
Yeah, I like Saquon over Derrick Henry. They're both obviously very good runners. Saquon adds another dynamic that Derrick Henry is not really as effective a route runner or pass catcher.
Well, the one problem that you have with Hurts, he played great in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Lamar has not played well in the playoffs. Which I love to tell you. Hurts went to that, you know, played great against Mahomes 2 years ago. Could have won the game. They would have gotten the ball back. They could have won the game. I'm looking at this from a plateau standpoint because the Eagles, this group, has already played in the Super Bowl. Lamar and Henry have not.
Right.
And I think the addition of Henry gives them a chance to get to the next step while the Eagles have already been in the big game. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, so you're not really looking at it as they're actually better.
How about looking at the common? I'm looking at a franchise scenario.
Okay, where so who would you pick? I would still pick
the franchise. I pick the Ravens over the Eagles to have a better run and a better chance to get to a Super Bowl and a bigger storyline than at the Eagles.
So I think it sounds like your argument is similar to when people say, does Patrick Mahomes need, like, a top-tier wide receiver? It's like, well, no, he doesn't, because they won a Super Bowl when they didn't really have him.
Right.
What? But imagine Patrick Mahomes with that, right? Again, imagine the Eagles now. You're looking at Saquon's numbers, and you can say, oh, well, the Eagles have made it with different guys, and they've been good, and they've had production from the running back position. But they haven't had Saquon Barkley in this offense. Again, the reason I bring up the 100, almost 100 scrimmage yards per game with the Eagle, with the Giants is because surrounded with close to nothing, carrying that offense by himself, he's put up those numbers. Now imagine when you put him in a situation.
I understand.
Where he.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Christian McCaffrey parallel is the one that's normally made because he went into that offense and then the offense exploded. Mm-hmm. But I find it incredibly hilarious that Mad Dog answered his own question and still got that wrong. So you're wrong about the question that they actually asked us. Then you created another question and said that they have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl now, which they don't because they're in the AFC. Well, so the Eagles in the NFC, I think, still have a better chance adding Saquon than the Ravens do in the AFC.
But the Ravens got to a championship game last year, and the Eagles got knocked out in the first round. So the Ravens are only one step away.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And if they get a good ground game by Henry in that kind of game, they could get to a Super Bowl.
And
you guys are making Barkley out to be Walter Payton. Let's take it easy, please.
And would you give the coaching advantage to Harbaugh?
I'm sorry.
You'd give the coaching advantage to Harbaugh versus Sirianni.
Help him out, Molly.
Yes, absolutely.
Molly, why are you helping him out? He was drowning.
Do you feel like Sirianni's job could potentially
his
be in
job is 1,000% on the line.
You're right. That's why you're helping him out, because the coaching advantage is in Baltimore. You're helping him out, Molly. But
And Hurts is better than Lamar.
Stop it, man. Can we introduce something new into First Take? It's okay at the end of the segment.
Why do you think Hurts is better than Lamar? Because you believe in him more in clutch moments. You feel like when the lights shine the brightest, Lamar shrinks and Jalen shows up.
Absolutely. Hurts played well in college in big spots, and Hurts played great in a Super Bowl. Has Lamar been great in the postseason? Okay. No.
So you want to switch your answer?
You answer. You give me that question.
Do you even recognize how you contradict yourself?
Let me get you to your strength right here.
I'm a little off today. I'm a little off.
Yankees ace Gerrit Cole has been shut down and visited specialist Dr. Neal in Los Angeles on Wednesday for further testing on his right elbow. Aaron Boone said he's got no timetable for how long Cole will be sidelined. He's already been ruled out for opening day and is expected to begin the season on the injured list. Mad Dog, how concerned should Yankees fans be right now?
Very, 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 very. He is the one player on this team that is just indispensable. They cannot afford to lose him. They can lose Stanton, they got Soto. They can lose Judge, they got Stanton. They can lose Soto, they got Judge. They do not have another pitcher like this guy. He's the best pitcher in the American League. He won a Cy Young last year. When you go visit the doctor who did the operation on Ohtani back in the fall, that's not a good sign. So when you go visit the doctor in L.A. to look at that elbow, that would concern me. Plus, the Yankees were thinking about getting Dylan Cease, the pitcher from the White Sox, who last night, to make up for this, was just traded to the Padres.
Oh, they missed out.
So they can't get him. Yep. So they don't have Cole, and the Yankees' goal is winning a championship, not making the playoffs, winning it all. They're in big trouble. This is very concerning. Who knows if it's going to be this season? Who knows if it's a Tommy John thing? He's never had a Tommy John surgery before, but not having him for a couple of months is a big deal for the Yankees.
Absolutely. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Big week in the NFL. Russell Wilson is now a member of the Steelers. After going 11-19 two seasons with the Broncos, he joins a Pittsburgh offense that had an NFL-worst 25 passing touchdowns the last two seasons. Meanwhile, how about Baker Mayfield? He's back with the Buccaneers after leading them to a divisional round of the playoffs last season. Mayfield threw for a career-high 4,044 yards, 28 TD passes, and Kirk Cousins will look to help a Falcons offense that had fewer TD passes all season than he had in eight games with the Vikings last year. Cousins could join Carson Palmer as the only players to throw for 4,000 yards with three different teams. Kirk, why is this new home the right fit for you? Talk to me.
Mike Shanahan told me a long, long time ago when I was in Washington that the key to winning and ultimately winning a Super Bowl is you got to have the owner, head coach, GM, and quarterback all on the same page. And if there's a breakdown in a link in that chain, it's tough to win a Super Bowl. And so I was looking for a place where I felt that the four of us could really all be able to trust each other to do our individual jobs and that it would take to win a Super Bowl. And as I look at Atlanta, I feel really good about the head coach, owner, general manager, and quarterback being on the same page. And that's really where it starts and ends. And from there, you look at a talented roster, you look at a great city to play for, you look at the fact that my wife is from Atlanta, and things just really aligned, and we're thrilled to be here.
Congrats to you, Kirk. All right, this is really interesting to me. You know, I love all the drama, all the storylines here before we get on the field. So which quarterback, Mad Dog, do you feel like is under more pressure? Is it Russell Wilson with the Steelers or Kirk in Atlanta?
Plus the fact he took a shot at the Viking coach. O'Connell's a better coach than Morris. He's proven that he's a better coach. And he said owner, GM, coach, and quarterback. On and now, Morris has got a lot to prove compared to O'Connell, who's a quarterback guru who's done a very good job. Plus, you're getting on the Wolves, who own the Vikings, compared to Arthur Blank, who owns Atlanta. I'm a little surprised.
And the GM. I think also the GM is probably the main one he was talking to, because a couple years ago, Kirk Cousins, the GM kind of suggested that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be the guy.
Maybe there's something to that.
Maybe the GM's got.
But I'm a little surprised of how he handled that because O'Connell is his buddy and he's a good coach. To me, Cousins has a tremendous amount of pressure on him. Russell Wilson had pressure when he went to Seattle. Because that trade from Seattle. That trade was a huge, they gave up a lot to get him. He was making a fortune. Hackett, he was looked at as the savior. That's where the pressure point was for Wilson. Now that he hasn't played that great, he goes to Pittsburgh. He's got Tomlin, good organization. It's almost like a house money thing for him. Cousins got paid another $100 million. He got paid an absolute fortune to a franchise that has an old owner. He's 82 years old, Arthur Blank, wants to win, has never won anything, and he is coming off an injury, which is another thing, who has, as you alluded to yesterday nicely and beat me, with only one postseason win.
Yes.
So to me, I don't think it's even a doubt.
I mean, I think that they have pressure to win a championship or at least make a deep run. I think you're right. But the pressure that I think Russell is probably feeling is entirely different, and I think it's bigger. The pressure is, what's his place going to be in football history? Russell Wilson was like Hall of Fame track player, one of the best players in football. Everyone was saying, let Russ cook. The Seahawks are holding him back. Then he went to this Broncos team that had a good roster, but it seemed like they were positioning themselves to get Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't. So they went with Russell instead, and then he had a horrendous season, which everyone can blame on the coach or blame on everyone else, but Russell also played really poorly. Then last year, it didn't feel like he had a fair chance because it felt like Sean Payton came in there with his mind made up that he was rebuilding this roster, and Russell was one of the problems from the old regime that he was going to move on from. So I do think that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Russell because it's going to determine how we remember him. Are we going to remember him as someone who had a good run early in his career but really ultimately wasn't all that good? Or are we going to remember him as someone who had a great early career, went into a debacle that ruined the midpoint of his career, and then actually came back and resurrected one of the great franchises, or not resurrected, they're not dead, but pushed them, one of the great franchises, back up to the place where they feel like they belong. He's playing for that. He's playing for whether he gets a Hall of Fame speech or not, or what he's going to say in that Hall of Fame speech. He's playing for a lot more than I think Kirk Cousins is, because as you mentioned, Kirk got paid a bunch of times. He's done those things. And Atlanta, as much as I'm sure Arthur Blank and Falcons fans won a championship, they're not the same as far as the history of the game as the Steelers are. What Russell can do there means a lot.
You know what, Dominique?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a fair point. That's a smart
point.
Don't
sound so surprised.
No, I'm going to give you your flowers. How he will be remembered. That is very important. But again, you're wrong. But I just have three questions to prove why you're wrong. Is Russell Wilson the starter in Pittsburgh?
Not right now.
Okay. But we know Kirk Cousins is, right?
Yes.
Okay, number two. What are the expectations for the Steelers versus what are the expectations for the Falcons?
Steelers win a playoff game.
What are the expectations for the Falcons?
I think also win a playoff game.
Just a playoff game? That's what the expectations are when
win
you
a Super Bowl.
When you make the splashiest of splashiest free agent moves to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You think
I think the expectations are win a Super Bowl, but I think Kirk Cousins can have.
There you go. Win a Super Bowl. Thank you. Okay, last question. How much guaranteed money is Kirk Cousins getting?
I'm not here to take a quiz.
I'm just saying, $100 million, right?
A lot. Yeah.
Guaranteed. So I rest my case. That is why Kirk Cousins, because here's the thing, you're talking about how will Russell be remembered. Kirk Cousins is at a point in his career where he just signed a 4-year deal with $100 million guaranteed. He's not trying to leave this game looking like, you know what? Kirk wasn't really the star. His agent was. He's the finesse king of the NFL. He's not trying to leave the game like that. Kirk even coming off the Achilles, which I don't think will hinder him as much because he's not like some mobile guy. He's a pocket passer. But he's coming into a situation where it's home, it's family. He's looking at the Vikings like, oh, yeah, they didn't really want me. It felt very much like I was a year to year, but I'm better than that. And now he's going to a situation in Atlanta where they're saying, we want you to take us to the promised land of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's on his plate. So they're not bringing him there
just
to win a playoff game.
Expectations for Kurt are a lot lower. And I think what they've experienced as far as quarterback play has been so bad that they'll be satisfied with Kirk Cousins being good enough to get them
that's
to the playoffs and winning.
It's a lot lower because you feel like the team situation, where you feel like Pittsburgh's in a position to actually make a run. If they can plug and play and he can play quarterback well, they can go the distance. But if Kirk plays well, how far do you think Atlanta's even going?
Yeah, I think Atlanta can go far if Kirk plays well. I think they can NFC Championship. I think they can
Atlanta.
Get, I do. I believe. I don't agree with your man Stephen A. that we're overreacting about this move. I think that it's a big enough move and the talent there is important. But I do think that the noise around the Steelers is we got to win a playoff game. Like, they're getting tired of Mike Tomlin. That's not what we're hearing in Atlanta. Atlanta is, please give us a quarterback. Anybody that can play quarterback for us, please. They got one.
Paying Russell Wilson nothing.
Yeah, I don't
think
that matters.
That's different. When we talk about pressure, $1.2 million versus $100 million.
It's not the same. The pressure, and we're not talking about the money at this point. The money doesn't matter for either of these guys.
Oh,
they're
money
paid.
Don't matter.
I mean, not for them. They're paid.
But the fans, it matters.
Yeah, I do.
Because a lot of people think that Cousins has been overpaid his whole career anyway. So this is a chance to sort of undo that. But I think I'm with you. But Dominic.
No. Hey, stay with me. Stay with me, Mad Dog.
Dom made a great point about historical legacy with Wilson. Before Denver.
Why are you so surprised that I make
no,
that?
Like if he's trying to become a Hall of Famer?
Well, I think he was a Hall of Famer
tarnished now.
Before he went to Denver. I think these 2 years in Denver, which were not great, obviously hurts him Hall
I'm
of
not,
Fame.
I'm not shocked that I'm the only one here that cares about history. Like, I'm not surprised that because you young Rudy Poos don't care about the things that the game were built on. I personally
The legacy point's phenomenal. How
That's
far?
Good point.
Okay, let's pretend both these guys play really well. Mm. How far? He has Atlanta in the NFC Championship game.
I think that's...
Is that a little aggressive?
A little. Okay. I think Atlanta... So, here's what I would say about Atlanta. Win the division, win a home playoff game.
Okay.
Get to a divisional round. If they lose to the Niners, you'll live with it. Pittsburgh, in a tough conference, I would think for them, would probably... Wow, that's a good question.
There's another...
What is the barometer
for the
Steelers?
What is it for the Pittsburgh? Yeah, what do they need to do?
I think they want to win a playoff game. And I think that there's a couple different ways to measure this question. We explored two of them. The other one is, by pressure, how much is they're actually going to have to do? How much pressure is on them? And you look at what you have in Atlanta and you think that there is less pressure on Kirk Cousins. They have a good offensive line. They have talented running back, talented tight end, talented receiver.
Sir.
And in Pittsburgh, it's a little different. They have an up and down receiver. They have an offensive line that's improved, but it's not great. And they have two pretty good running backs.
You and I just talked on GetUp about Russell Wilson, the diminished player. Mm-hmm. Right now, he just needs to be a point guard if he's in that offense. He just needs to distribute the ball. Just get it to your running backs. Get it to Najee. Get it to Jalen, throw it deep to George Pickens, and the idea that Russell is going to be asked to take over this offense.
Whose weapons would you rather have? Whose offense outside of quarterback would you rather have? Since you asked me questions, I asked you questions. Whose offense would you rather have?
I'm not here to take a quiz.
All right, so that means
Falcons.
I'm right. So the fact of the matter is, less is going to be asked of Kirk Cousins than you were.
But there's more pressure on him because he's in a division that they should win.
Absolutely.
And he's making.
That's also an argument that there's less pressure. You're going up against bad teams. It's less pressure.
If you don't win that division, though, and you're Kirk Cousins, that's a disaster.
And they are not guaranteed to win that division.
New barber.
No, I just cut it off. I was tired of it. It was long.
Looks good.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you changing
goodness.
The subject? We're having a nice
discussion.
There's something
discussion. That Molly,
well, I saw a lot. We're trying Dominican barber? Like...
No, he's not. No.
Really?
They are talented.
This, see, this is why Steven gets on you. You see?
What?
Because Dominique, now we're pumping him up. He's feeling good, feeling himself.
He's got a nice spring outfit on.
The fact of the matter is, I'm a cornerback. I feel this way about myself all the time.
You do.
You can't do nothing. You can moss me. I'm going to still think I'm great.
That is true. You are right.
This is a big year for Cousins.
You can. I mean, someone.
Cousins has to have a big year, win a playoff game.
And what about Russell?
I don't feel the same way about him.
Are you just not, like, is that move not exciting and sexy
not to
you?
Me.
Like, you
I think, it's,
really
a, I think it's a flyer for the Steelers. Yeah. I think with C, he's better than Pickett.
Yeah.
It's a tough division.
You're right.
We had to do something. Let's take a chance. Let's take a chance.
Let's take a
Atlanta,
chance.
They made this move to win.
Hey,
that's
you're
why it's,
to the
that's
choir,
why to
baby.
Me it's more significant.
What do you think of the Giants move, Burns?
Great move for the Giants.
Gave them an awful lot of money.
Pass rushers, they matter. Are you saying that the Giants don't need somebody to get after the pass rush?
They need some offense.
When they win a championship,
their
Super Bowls, their Super Bowls were based on Lawrence Taylor and that defensive line getting a lot of sacks.
I'm losing you, doggy. Come back to me because now you're going to
You know, that's not entirely correct.
Yes, it is.
It was in 86 with their great defense.
That D-line.
They won in 90 because they held the ball for 40 minutes against the Buffalo defensive line because Otis Anderson ran all over the place. And then they beat the Patriots. Manning has the great fourth quarter.
Twice.
They make lots of plays.
Twice.
And then they beat him again. He makes the play to Manningham.
What was the?
Be fair.
They had one unit on that team that was better
defensive
than everyone else.
Defensive line against
Thank
the Patriots.
That's all.
I'll answer that.
That's all. That's all I'm saying. There was one difference-making unit on that team. It's defensive line. The same thing with Lawrence Taylor. I hate being right all the time.
Like,
it's exhausting.
Are you,
let's go to break.
Where's your almanac? Because
he's too young.
Can't come in here dropping history
Rudy
lessons
Pooh.
On that dog.
Well, he can't.
Rudy
Pooh. Don forgot about Otis Anderson with 100.
Guys, I love you. We did 40 minutes straight. Can I get a commercial break?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We took a break already.
Let's pay some bills.
Let's take another.
Okay.
And to the NBA.
It felt like 40 straight.
All
right, I need another break. You're right, we did.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bengals wideout. T. Higgins reportedly wants out of Cincinnati by asking for a trade. The Bengals gave Higgins the one-year franchise tag worth just under $22 million for the upcoming season. With this in mind, let's take a look at some notable wide receiver moves thus far, like another Bengals wide receiver, Tyler Boyd, entering free agency while Gabe Davis signed with Jacksonville, and MVS being released by the Chiefs. All right, Nick, you're up first. With this wide receiver movement, who needs Higgins the most? Would you go Joe B, Josh Allen, Patty Mahomes?
I mean, I think this is obvious and easy. It's Patrick Mahomes. Who needs him the most? He's the only one who doesn't have a true number one receiver. I don't know how good T. Higgins will be away from Jamar Chase, but I know that he's better than what Patrick Mahomes has been dealing with. I know that he can catch. I know that he can get behind defenses and compromise them. I think what if you come to the conclusion that it's anybody else other than them, what are you saying about the receivers that, like, Stephon Diggs is a good receiver. He's a true number one receiver. Jamar Chase, arguably the best receiver in the league next to Justin Jefferson. Those are good receivers. Those are teams that don't need another receiver. I think that you could reasonably make the argument that Joe Burrow has gotten accustomed to it and is and likes having both of those guys, but you see his numbers with or without T. Higgins on the field, they're about the same, slightly better, honestly, with Jamar Chase and no T. Higgins. So I think it's obvious that it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I won't go there. And I like Higgins. He's very good. I won't go there because they've won two Super Bowls already without a great receiver. And I got Kelce, who I count as the great receiver anyway, as the tight end. So as a result, I'm not going to Kansas City. Cincinnati does have Chase, who's great. I am down on Diggs. I'm down on him.
Oh, well,
he had a terrible, he dropped, they would have won the game. He dropped. If you are that good and claim you're that good, catch the ball in the game against Kansas City on the bomb. He catches that ball in their last drive. Buffalo beats the Chiefs, and Buffalo might have won a Super Bowl. He had a wide open pass. He caught it. They would have had a first down at the Kansas City 30-yard line with 2:20 to go in the game.
I can't with you. Just boiling everything down to one play.
Well, I mean,
one play.
That's so that's what championships are won, though, Dom. It's one play.
I agree.
Not
that doesn't mean
plays,
it.
Big time players make big time.
Yeah, you're cooking with gas.
So the only reason why
you look good, you feel good. You want me to keep going? Shout to Dion.
Yeah, feel good, play good. You play good, they pay good.
Tyree doesn't make that catch against the Patriots off his helmet.
All right, but let's be honest. Let's be honest. Are there? Do you have more moments than that, or is that? Or you're just down?
I'm down on Diggs. You know, Diggs throwing his helmet. He's a little bit.
Here we go. It's not about the play on the field.
You like the way he conducts himself?
I mean, I don't get involved in all that.
I love the way that he conducts himself. You know what?
Gotcha.
Josh Allen was not the Josh Allen that we know until Stephon Diggs got there.
Hello.
Josh Allen struggled against man coverage. Josh Allen had people saying, see, you shouldn't have drafted him at that spot. You know who shows up to the rescue? Stephon Diggs. And his ability to beat man coverage is what bought Josh Allen the time to become the quarterback he is now. I'm not saying that now that Josh Allen can't live without Stephon Diggs. Obviously, he could towards the end of last season. They did just fine without focusing on Stephon Diggs. But he still has gravity on the field. So if this is a debate about how good Stephon Diggs is, this, to me, is a different conversation and a waste of time.
You guys
However,
can have him.
What the first argument you made is part of the problem is Patrick Mahomes has created these expectations. Mm-hmm. And as someone who is like incredibly awesome, I understand how it feels. It's people want you to be awesome all the time. Sometimes you need a little help. Like, I'm sure you don't understand what this feels like, but sometimes you need a little help. And just because he's won a couple Super Bowls in a row does not mean that their roster does not have weaknesses.
I'm with you. Their roster has weaknesses. You making sense, except for the somebody who's pretty awesome myself. I know.
I'm accustomed to it. It's tough.
All right. So, Doggy, I'm disappointed in you.
What are you disappointed me for?
So many things.
You guys are loving Diggs. I'm down on you.
Not,
what are you throwing me on the bus for?
I didn't say anything. I'm a journalist. I asked the questions. I dug, and I got to the root of it.
Boom. So my answer is different from both of you. I think Joe Burrow needs T. Higgins more because it's not just, we're talking about the Eagles and what makes them so frightening. It's like, well, where are you gonna stop them? Like, they've got two great wide receivers, they've got a great running back, they've got a great tight end, right? When I look at the Bengals, like, just because they have Ja'Marr Chase doesn't mean that, oh well, they're good with just him. Also keep in mind Tyler Boyd. Like, the three of them together is, and Joe Mixon playing better, is what got them to that Super Bowl too, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So now we've got Joe Mixon gone, you've got Tyler Boyd potentially gone. You've got this organization that has never been hard-pressed to say, oh, you want to trade? Okay. They might sit there and not trade him, right? But you also have, keep in mind, offensive tackle Jonah Williams, gone to Arizona. Like, there are other things that, when I look at this Cincinnati offense, where just because your point about Patrick Mahomes, like, just because he doesn't need it, doesn't mean he shouldn't have it.
Right.
That would be my argument for Joe.
Hey,
That would be my argument for Joe Burrow as well.
Fine. Then get him a tackle. What he don't need is another number one receiver. Like, I like the idea of keeping him there to make this run on a franchise tag. I don't hate that idea at all.
Okay.
But making the point that he needs him more, he does not need him more than Patrick Mahomes. And Kelsey's great, but Kelsey's not stretching the field the way that a true number one receiver would.
But I'm going to flip your point about the Chiefs. Like, you're saying, why make Patrick Mahomes' life harder? Get him a true number one, except we have seen Patrick Mahomes do more with less. So when you talk about need, the counter to that is I've seen the Bengals get to a Super Bowl and not win it.
Agreed.
So why strip from a team that we haven't seen get to the Super Bowl?
Because we have a salary cap. I would love to do away with the salary cap also. But the fact of the matter is you're going to have to make some decisions. And we saw that the Chiefs made the decision to move on from Tyreek Hill. And there are certain, so like we talk about Kirk Cousins. We don't think Kirk Cousins, or I don't think Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback without a lot of help around him. Jared Goff, another example. I think that Joe Burrow is a step above that. I think he's better than them. So you know what you do when you have a guy like that, like Patrick Mahomes, who can lift the people around them? I'm not saying get rid of Chase and Higgins. I'm not even saying get rid of Higgins this year. I'm just saying he don't need Chase and Higgins. He's that type of good.
You said you're not opposed to holding on to Higgins for this year.
For this year, right. No, why? Because he's great. He's a great player.
So
why y'all don't like the questions? You just don't – who needs him the most? Joe Burrow don't need him the most because Ja'Marr Chase is there. Patrick Mahomes, name his top receiver. Rice? He could use him. Why? Like, it's okay to stop. Just because it's first take, y'all don't have to lie. You can stop and be like, hey, you know what? Got me there, Fox. My fault. That's it.
I think you definitely got to say the Bills. I'm surprised that you killed
the Chiefs. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Not one, two.
Yeah, I said it.
Cincinnati, you just answered your own question with Chase.
And
what about the receivers in
Davis?
Football?
Come on.
I got to go to break.
Come on. That is ridiculous. Stop
doing?
At the breaks. I'm not saying
that. The Chiefs are going for a three-peat, in case you didn't know, Matt.
I understand.
Chiefs are not in your almanac. Chiefs are doing just fine, Dominique.
Buffalo needs another receiver. Higgins to the Bills. Go ahead.